Thank you, Joe. Good morning, everyone. If you would turn in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. While you're turning there, let me tell you about a young man and his fiancée who actually met with their pastor to sign some pre-wedding ceremony papers. While filling out the form, the young man began to read aloud the questions on the paper. And when he got to the last one, which read, "Are you entering this marriage at your own will?" He looked over at his fiancée and she said, "Put down yes." You know, choosing a spouse is probably one of the most significant decisions that anyone will ever make in their life. And it's one of those decisions, even if a person chooses not to be married, that's still a decision that will have a major impact on how that person's life plays out. So it's an important decision. As we look at Genesis chapter 24, this is one of those chapters that deals with that very issue. And of course, we've began looking at it a couple of times. We've sort of dove into it, learning about how Abraham had a desire for his son Isaac to obtain a wife. And the beauty of this entire chapter, even though it is so long, 67 verses in this chapter. And we have a very detailed account. And in my opinion, I really believe that the reason we have such a detailed account of this is because of the picture that it presents to us. And that picture is of God wanting a bride for his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we see it in that light, it brings out and it adds to so much of what we see represented here in Genesis chapter 24. We began looking at verses 1 through 9 a few weeks back, and considering in verses 1 through 9 the plan that Abraham developed whereby he would send out his servant to obtain this bride for his son. But it was God the Father who made this plan. And it was Abraham who made this plan in the chapter, but that represents and that illustrates how God designed a plan for his son to have a bride. And if you sit here this morning and you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are a part of that plan. And that is absolute wonder to think of that. That we who had no knowledge of that plan prior to coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, there was nothing in us that was worthy of being a part of that plan. And yet God, in his mercy and in his grace, sought to reach out to those of us who were unworthy to bring us in to be a part of the church, the true church. Not just of this local church, but rather of the true church. That is composed of believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, which make up that bride of Jesus Christ. So it was Abraham who came up with that plan in verses 1 through 9, and we looked at that. Then we began to look at not only the plan, but then the outgoing of that plan, that is the procuring of that bride, and that is the majority of the chapter, verses 10 through 6. And last time, as we met together, we considered the roles of all of those who were involved in carrying out that plan, the different roles of each one. Abraham's role was that he was the one who designed that plan. Isaac's role, as you go back to Genesis chapter 22, two chapters before this, his role was that he was offered up on Mount Calvary, on Mount Moriah here. But that, of course, represents the plan that God had whereby his son would be the one who would help to carry out that plan to obtain the bride by dying on the cross for our sins. And without Genesis chapter 22 occurring first, we couldn't come to chapter 24, and so it is with the Lord Jesus. If he had not died on the cross for our sins, there would be no hope for us to ever be a part of that bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the role of the son in this. We consider the role of the servant And we began looking at that. And the role of that servant was, first of all, is that he was sent out to search for that bride. He was given the criteria in the plan that was laid out in verses 1 through 9. And then he was sent out to search for that bride. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. That's a picture of the work of the Holy Spirit, who is sent out. And he does that work of conviction, that work of drawing sinners to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only to search for the bride, but also to speak of the Son. The Scripture says that the Holy Spirit does not speak of himself, but he speaks of the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what this servant does in Genesis chapter 24. He wasn't there, he didn't get sent out to speak about himself, but he would tell about his master Abraham and his son Isaac, who was the heir of all that Abraham the father had. And that's what the role of the Holy Spirit is to present the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to those who are willing to listen, to those who are willing to hear about his Son and how they can be saved by the Lord Jesus Christ and come into that bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then also the Holy Spirit, or here in the servant, sealed that agreement by the gifts that he gave as a dowry to Rebecca when she agreed to go with the servant back to where Isaac was. And just like the servant here of Abraham sealed that agreement with that dowry, so it is the Holy Spirit is the one who seals us unto the day of redemption. And aren't we thankful for the sealing work of the Holy Spirit? We don't keep ourselves in that bride, but he does that sealing work. And what a blessing it is to know that we are kept by the power of God unto the day of salvation through Jesus Christ. And so we've considered that. As we consider the servant and his role in this, we've looked at the role of the Father and the Son. We've looked at the role of the servant here. The role of the servant, though, is not only representative of the work of the Holy Spirit, but the role of the servant is also representative of us as believers. Now, how does that play out? Well, if we were to turn back to John chapter 14, verses 16 and 17, you don't need to turn there. But there the Lord Jesus said, "I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." And so he promised that the Holy Spirit would come and he would indwell believers, not just be with them, but be indwell those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And that is true today. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit indwells you. When did that promise come out, or when did it play out? He promised it there in John 14. If we were to turn to Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, it says, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me." And that's exactly what happened on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit came down and indwelt believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a result of that, what did he say would happen? He said, "You will receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you." And what the result of that will be is that you'll be witnesses unto me. So we have the indwelling Holy Spirit. We've considered the role of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one who actually does the searching out. The Holy Spirit is the one who seals that. When we look at our role in it, we are filled with the Holy Spirit. He resides in us, those who know the Lord Jesus Christ as believers. And as a result of that, we are his witnesses. We too, just like the Holy Spirit was sent out to find, to obtain that bride, so we have been sent as well. In John chapter 20, verses 21 and 22, "Then said Jesus unto them, Peace be unto you, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Spirit." And so the Holy Spirit residing in us, in turn, also gives us, we have that responsibility. Let me ask you this. Does the Holy Spirit need us to do that work of going out and searching out to find him? No, he doesn't need us, but God has designed it that way. He is the one who has designed it that way to fill us with the Holy Spirit, to live within us as believers, and then he sends us out with that. We have the responsibility and the privilege as believers to go out and to present Jesus Christ. That's what the Holy Spirit's role is, not to speak of himself, but to speak of the Son. And if you know the Lord Jesus, and I know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, he too has sent us out with the same message to speak of the Son. And we can see that pictured here in the role of this servant, who not only represents the work of the Holy Spirit, but the work of us as Christians to go out and to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, if we have been sent out, and if that is the picture here, which it is, if that's what we see in this servant, and we too are his servants, filled with the Holy Spirit, sent out, we've received power to be witnesses unto him as the Holy Spirit has come in to us, then I have to ask myself the question, how long has it been since I have actively gone out to search out to find someone who's willing to hear about the Son, to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, can we convict them? Can we draw them? No, that's the Holy Spirit's work. But we present the Son. We present the Word of God, the Son, Jesus Christ, and then the Holy Spirit takes that word, and he's the one who does the work of conviction. He's the one who draws them to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who opens their blinded eyes to show them the Lord Jesus Christ. But we have been sent, and I have to ask myself, how long has it been since I've gone out? Think about this servant. What did he do? The servant went out on a long journey. It was a long journey to go to where Abraham had sent him to go to find a bride for his son. It wasn't an easy thing. It wasn't like walking across the street. Am I willing to give of myself? Am I willing to give my time and my resources and to sacrifice personal free time and preferences to go out and to search out and to be the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ that he would have me to be as well? Also in line with that, thinking of this role of the servant, do you remember what the servant did when he finally got to his destination looking for that bride? The first thing he did was what? He prayed. Remember? He prayed. We read that the last time, and I'm not going to go through and read the entirety of this passage again. But he prayed, and he prayed very specifically. And he prayed, he said, Lord, show me this one. Let her be this one who would do this. And before he finished praying, what happened? Rebecca came right on the scene and did exactly how he had prayed. And the Lord answered that prayer. Think of the earnestness with which this servant prayed. And of course, once again, I need to ask myself, as his servant, filled with the Holy Spirit, who's been sent out as his witness, do I pray specifically for people to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Specifically, that God will move and to work to draw those whom he would have come to him to be saved. The urgency with which he prayed. And in look at verse number 17. Notice what he did when he saw Rebekah and he saw these things coming out in answer to prayer. And the servant, what did he do? He ran to meet her in verse 17. Now, it doesn't say that he simply walked out to meet her, but he ran to meet her. The excitement with which he had, the burden with which he had. And I have to again ask myself, do I have that same burden, that same desire that I would run out to want to see someone come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? How long has it been since I reached out with the same urgency that this servant reached out to Rebekah? And to think about what he did, you remember how, and we're going to look at this a little bit later, but you remember how in the passage when it all played out and the servant went to Rebekah's house and he told the story about from beginning to end what had happened. And then he said, will you allow her to go? And you remember Rebekah's family said, well, she can go, but we would like for her to stay 10 days. You know, maybe more than that, at least 10 days though. We would like for her to stay. And the urgency about this servant said, no. Don't delay me. Don't hinder me from this. Think of the urgency that she felt. And I have to ask myself, do I have that sense of urgency for people to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior? It's pictured right here in this beautiful picture in the role of this servant and what we have as a responsibility and as a privilege as believers. One other point I'd like to make about that, if you'll turn back to verse number 66. Toward the end of this, when it all plays out and the servant comes back and Rebekah is brought to Isaac, it says in verse number 66, "And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done." What does that mean? He gave an account of himself to the son. And one day you and I, as his servants, will do the same thing, will we not? We will give an account of ourselves to the son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we will have to answer as well. In Romans chapter 14 and verses 10 through 12, it says, "We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God." That's every one of us who know the Lord Jesus will give an account at the judgment seat of Christ as his witnesses. So we've considered the role of the Father and the role of the Son. We've looked at the role of the servant here and how it represents the work of the Holy Spirit and also represents our responsibility as believers in reaching out with the gospel to be his witnesses. There's one other person involved in this scenario, in this chapter, that we haven't considered her role, and that is the role of Rebekah. Rebekah plays an important role in this as well, and we need to understand what her role in this, because it's very significant. If we miss the importance of the role that she plays, then the rest of it will not make as much sense either. Now, perhaps there's one here today who's wondering, well, how can I become a part of that bride, the church of Jesus Christ? As we look at this role of Rebekah, I think all of those questions are answered in the picture that's before us. The first thing that Rebekah had to do, you remember when the servant approached Rebekah and said, "Whose daughter are you?" Why was the servant concerned about whose daughter she was? Because way back in the plan, that was the plan that Abraham had given, that it had to be from his family. Nobody else would do. Nobody else would fit the qualifications. Had to come from within his family back in Mesopotamia. And so here, as she was asked the question, here's this stranger, think about it, here's this stranger approaching her and saying, "Whose daughter are you?" Now, she had a choice to make at that point. She could have thought, well, I don't know who this guy is. He's just a stranger that I've just met. You know, I could, maybe she could have been scared of him, said, well, if I say exactly where I live and whose daughter I am, then, you know, he could go to our home and who knows, he could be a crook or whatever. But she didn't. She didn't do that. She didn't try to conceal her identity or anything about herself. She was very honest about who she was. That's the first step that has to take place if a person is going to become a part of the bride of Jesus Christ. Is we have to be honest about who we are before him. We have to be honest and admit who we are before him. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 18. Keep your finger here in Genesis 24 as we'll be going back and forth there. But in Luke chapter 18, we have an account here that illustrates this very, very important point. If we miss this point about being willing to simply be honest with God as to who we are, not in our own opinion, not in the opinion of others, but as standing before him, that's who we have to be honest with. To be honest with him. In Luke chapter 18, there is a contrast and a comparison between one who was willing to admit who he was before God and one who was not. In Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse number 10, "Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, 'God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector. I fast twice in the week, and I give tithes of all that I possess.' And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And literally, not just a sinner, but God, be merciful to me, the sinner. He would see himself as the sinner before God. It doesn't matter about anybody else. He recognized and he was willing to admit, willing to be honest with God, that before his eyes, he was a sinner before God. Now, what about the Pharisee? Was he willing to admit that? Not at all. He would say, well, you know, if I compare myself to this person and that person, well, I'm a pretty good person. Look what all that I do. I do all these wonderful things. And he wasn't honest with God. And he wasn't honest with himself. But here was this tax collector who stood before God naked, spiritually naked, not trying to hide anything, realizing that the piercing eyes of God would see right down into his sinful heart, and he would say, I am the sinner before you. And you know, Rebecca had to admit who she was. She had to be honest about who she was. And if we're going to come into the bride of Jesus Christ, the first step is we've got to admit that we are sinners and that we don't deserve to be there. We don't deserve to be a part of that bride. We are unfit to be a part of the bride of Jesus Christ. We are the sinner before him. Let me ask you a question. Has there been a point in your life where you have stood before God and come to the acceptance, not only for yourself, but to stand before God and admit to him, I am a sinner, and I'm helpless, and I can do nothing about my sin. I don't deserve to be a part of the bride of Jesus Christ. I'm a sinner. That is the first step, and that's what Rebecca was willing to do. The second thing that she did was that she invited the servant to come to her home. Remember, he said, The conversation came up about him going, and she said, yeah, we have plenty in our house. You're welcome to come. What could she have done at that point? She could have said, well, I don't know this guy. I'm going to turn him away. We don't know anything about this guy. And all this entourage that's with him, we'll just send him away. But no, she invited him to come to her home. She could have turned him away. But listen, if she would have turned him away, she would have missed the greatest opportunity that was presented to her in her entire life, to become the bride of Isaac. What's so great about that? God had made promises to Abraham and to Isaac and to his seed, saying, all the nations will be blessed through you. I will make your name great. I will make you great. See if you can possibly count the stars of the heaven. That's how great you will be. And through you, all the nations will be blessed. And she was given the opportunity to become a part of that by being the bride of Isaac. And she could have turned away this servant. And you know, someone here today could be hearing about, willing to confess, you know, I'm a sinner. Willing to admit who I am. But at that point in time, there's a decision to make. Either I have to invite the servant to come in and to continue looking about who this really is, who this son is that he wants to tell me about. Or I can reject him and push him away and say, no, I'm not interested. But she invited the servant to come into her home so she could find out more about what he had to say. So there's this decision that we need to make to push away that working and that drawing of the Holy Spirit, or to invite him to come in and see what he has to say about the Lord Jesus Christ. The next thing that she did is that she believed the message about the servant. She had to believe the message that the servant brought about the Lord, about the son, Isaac. The servant told of his master, who was very wealthy, and his master had a son. And all that the father had was going to be the son's. And he gave that message. And Rebecca had to make a conscious decision of whether she was going to believe that. Had she ever met Isaac before? Never had. Had never seen Isaac before. And yet she had to be willing to believe without ever having seen for the first time. And so it is with someone who wants to be a part of the bride of Jesus Christ. We've never seen the Lord Jesus with our eyes, but we have to believe. We have to believe that He is the Son of the Father who was sent to die on the cross for our sins, who can save us and forgive us and clothe us in His righteousness, which we need to stand before Him, as we'll see in a little while as well. But she had to make a conscious decision to believe. The Scripture says about the Lord Jesus Christ that He once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. Have you believed that? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? It's simple faith. She had to take it in simple faith and believe the message about the son, Isaac. And you know, she didn't have to believe the message about any other son, only this son, only the son of Abraham. That's the one that she had to believe about. Acts 4:12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." He's the only way. He is the only way, and she had to believe that. John 3:36 says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Do you believe that? That's what the Scripture says. We have to believe the record of God's Son. There's no in-between. There was no in-between for Rebecca. She couldn't say, "Well, you know, I'll agree to half of that, but I'm just going to stay home because I'm not sure about the rest of it." You either believe or you don't. And that's the way it was with Rebecca. Her belief issued out in action, as we'll see. Which leads me to the next point. The fourth thing that we see about Rebecca is that she was willing to leave her old life to be with Isaac. She was willing to leave her old life to be with Isaac. She had to count the cost, didn't she? She had to count the cost. Think about it. All that she was familiar with about her life, all of the security that she had grown up with of living in that house, of being surrounded with her friends, about all that she had there that she could inherit from her own family, she had to be willing to give all that up, all that security, all that familiarity, to go to be with one she had never seen before. She had to be willing to count the cost and to do that. And so we have to ask ourselves, have I counted the cost? Am I willing to give everything up to follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I willing to leave the old life behind because I look forward to being with the Son, to being with the Lord Jesus Christ? If you would turn to Mark chapter 10. In Mark chapter 10, there is a short little account that illustrates this beginning in verse number 17. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. "When he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?'" This is really the same question, is it not? To inherit eternal life is the same as to be a part of the bride of Jesus Christ. Here's one who's asking that question: how can I become a part of the bride of Jesus Christ? What should I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." And he answered and said unto them, "Master, all of these I have observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, "Listen, one thing thou lackest, one thing. Go thy way, and sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me." What was this man's response? "And he was sad at that saying, and he went away grieved, for he had great possessions." Once he counted the cost, he wasn't willing to leave it all behind for the Lord Jesus Christ. Rebecca was willing to give it all up to go with this servant and to be with Isaac as her bride, as his bride. But here was one who counted the cost and said, the Lord Jesus would say, "One thing." And you know, that's all it takes. All it takes is one thing that I'm not willing to give up or to forsake or to say no to or to repent of. I have to be willing to give it all up to go to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all of Him and none of me. To say it's He is the only way. He is the one who died for my sins. Another truth that we see about what Rebecca did is that she believed without delay. She believed without delay. You remember how back in, well, let's turn to Genesis chapter 24. Back in Genesis chapter 24. And verse 55. And her brother and her mother said, "Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10. And after that she shall go. And he said unto them, Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away that I might go to my master. And they said, We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebecca and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. The family wanted to hold back, wanted her to stay and reconsider this for about 10 days and delay the work of this servant. And you know, that's what the devil tries to do today. Is maybe I'm willing to admit that I'm a sinner before Him. And maybe I am willing to give it all up and to follow Him. But are you willing to do it now? The devil wants a person to delay in coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the scripture says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. An evangelist at the close of his message said this, Satan does not care if men and women come to the house of God and to public services such as these, and are attentive and serious and deeply moved, if only they will let the religious opportunity pass and be unimproved. Oh, dreadful possibility that religious opportunity may come and pass by and the highest things of the soul be lost and forfeited forever. End of quote. This question is still being asked today. Will you go with this man? That was the question that was asked to Rebecca. And the same question is being asked today. Will you go with the Lord Jesus Christ and to believe on Him? The scripture says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away and all things are become new. And if I have gone with the Lord Jesus Christ, He makes me brand new. The old things are forsaken and all things are become new. Is that true in your life? Have you been willing to go with Him? Are you willing to go without delay? In Romans chapter 10, it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. The door is open for anyone to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on Him. But to come without delay. She was honest about who she was. She invited the servant to come into her home to find out more. She believed the message of the servant. She was willing to leave her old life behind to be with Isaac. And she believed without delay. What happened after she believed? If you would turn to Genesis 24 and verse number 61. Genesis 24 and verse number 61. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels, and they followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went whose way? Went his way. She was willing to follow the leading of the servant. It was the servant who had come and would know the best way to go back to the son. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. When we have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to follow His leading. He knows the best way. While we're here, We're waiting to see the one that we have never seen and yet love, the Lord Jesus Christ. We might not know the best way in this life before we're going to get to that point of seeing him face to face. But it's the leading of the Holy Spirit that shows us that way. And we need to follow his leading. Romans 8:14 says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." What was the evidence that she was a part, that she would be that bride of Isaac? She was led by the servant. And that's an evidence in our lives. If we have the leading of the Holy Spirit, that's an evidence that we have truly believed on him. The leading of the Spirit. Think about her on her way and wanting to find out more about Isaac. We don't know what that conversation was. But can't you imagine Rebecca wanting to find out more about this one that she was going to marry? Probably asking the servant all kinds of questions. And if that in fact happened, you can see how that pictures our walk here. As we look into the scripture, the Holy Spirit reveals more and more of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we learn and we grow in our knowledge of him. Look at Genesis chapter 24, verses 64 and 65. Not only did she follow the leading of this servant, but she also longed to see the one that she had never seen and yet loved. She longed to see him. Chapter 24, verse 64. "And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, 'What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?' And the servant said, 'It is my master.' Therefore she took a veil and covered herself." She lighted off the camel, and she said, "What man is this?" She longed to see this one. And you know what the scripture says about us as believers in 1 Peter 1:8, "Whom having not seen, ye love, in whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." Does that characterize your heart? You know the Lord Jesus? You look forward to seeing him? If you don't have that joy of looking forward to seeing him, maybe you've never started the journey. Maybe you've never gone with a servant. Maybe you've never truly believed on the Lord Jesus as your Savior to start with. If you truly have, you'll be just like Rebecca. She lighted off the camel. She was excited. She wanted to go see. And the word there for lighted actually means went down. It has several variations of meaning. One of those being the prostrating of oneself down before another. And think about her seeing him for the first time, lighting off her camel, prostrating herself before Isaac. Is that not what we will do when we see the Lord Jesus Christ? Face to face, we'll bow down, we'll fall at his feet and want to worship him. And then in verse 67, the scripture says, "And Isaac brought her unto his mother Sarah's tent, and he took Rebekah and became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." He loved her. She was loved by Isaac. Here you are. Here I am here this morning. We're still on the journey. We haven't gotten there to that point where we're presented as the bride to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we know he loves us. And you know what the scripture says about his love for us? The scripture says nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. One day, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, just like Rebecca was presented to Isaac as his bride, so it will be for the church of Jesus Christ to be presented to the Lord Jesus Christ as his bride. You notice that she covered herself with a veil. In that presentation to her, she had to be ready. She veiled herself to make ourselves presentable to the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no covering that we could come up with on our own. It was the Lord Jesus Christ that had to provide that for us. The wedding garment was paid for by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are clothed in the righteousness of his Son to be made presentable to him. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's the only way that we can be presentable as his bride. The scripture says in Ephesians chapter 5 about Christ loving the church and giving himself for it. He says that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Is that possible in and of ourselves? Not at all. It's only in Jesus Christ. It's only as we're clothed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And here was Rebecca presented to Isaac, and he loved her. One day, we look forward to that as the bride of Jesus Christ, to be presented, not in our own righteousness, but to be presented to him in his own righteousness, accepted by him, to be with him for all eternity. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Today can be the day. Don't delay, as was the case tried with Rebecca. They had tried to cause her to delay. I want to close with this quote from Charles Spurgeon, that great prince of preachers. He said this to his congregation one day, many years ago. He said, 10 days did not seem too long, but they might have been 10 days too late. One day does not seem much, but one day more may be one day too late. One day too late is to be too late forever. Yea, 1 minute too late is an eternity too late. One commentator said, this is much more than an ancient love story in Genesis 24. It can be your love story today if you'll trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. I hope that you will. As we close in prayer, you don't have to come forward in the meeting. You don't have to be baptized to be saved. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can be saved right there in your seat. As we bow in prayer, cry out to him. Don't put it off. Today is the day of salvation. As we close in prayer, I will remind everyone that we will need to exit this building as quickly as possible, as well as the hallway immediately outside the doors. You can make your way into the blacktop area for fellowship if you like, but we need to empty this out as quickly as possible for the young children who will be coming in to practice, and we appreciate your cooperation with that. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that you would give him to be the sacrifice for our sins. Father, we recognize in your sight we are the sinner. We do not deserve to be a part of that bride of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're so unworthy. But we thank you that he is worthy and that he is righteous and he is acceptable to you. And as we are in him by faith, that we are accepted by you as well. Lord, these truths are so much more than our puny little minds can take in, more than our hearts can absorb. But we thank you that they're here and that they're true. And we pray, Father, that if there's one here who's never truly believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and had their lives changed, that this would be the day, as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.